Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of kindness, Torah Chesed, instructions of, Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Racham, instructions of mercy. This is now the 283rd class of Soul Class, and today's feature will be A Prophet, a Leper, and Revealed Glory. This is installment number 2. We started last week. We'll get a little review about that. Just want to mention anyone who saw my link in Facebook, and you can connect me through Facebook. On my name on Facebook is Don Zusya Goodman, D-O-N-Z-U-S-Y-A Goodman, G-O-O-D-M-A-N. And if you'd like to contact me after the show, you can call me at 347-469-9702. If I don't answer, please leave me a voicemail and try to get back, and we can vibe out on this material, anything you'd like to discuss in Torah. I don't have all the answers, but hopefully I can help you, assist you find answers you're looking for from even more learned individuals than myself. With that being said, blessed souls, there's a little divine humor in every endeavor that we, flesh and blood, soul and blood, dwellers of clay, because we all come from original man and woman who were extracted from the earth by the Most High. You can learn more about that in Genesis. And all blessed and anointed with the divine image, which you can learn about Genesis 1:27. That when I programmed the show today, I had difficulty because I'm using a Windows 7 computer, and that Windows Vista, which I'm accustomed to using, and I couldn't program the material that I wanted to talk about today very succinctly. And so those of you who see the link and talked about getting relief from allergies, well, that was not my intent, but hopefully we can make people allergic to the idea of serving idols and allergic to the idea of wanting to commit premeditated murder, allergic to the idea of blaspheming the Creator, heaven forbid, allergic to stealing, allergic to not wanting to commit adultery, allergic to not wanting to eat the limb of an animal that's still alive, and of course, allergic to the idea of standing behind justice systems which are generating injustice and not justice. That being said, blessed souls, if as an expression of unity for anyone who is listening to the show anywhere in the world, whether you be in the Middle East, in Africa, European continent, China, Asia, down under in Australia, or here in the United States of America, a.k.a. Turtle Island, we have the Nation of Israel. We'll be reading from the Torah portions. There will be two portions, Acharei Mosin Kedoshim. And you can go to Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1, and then conclude at chapter 20, verse 27. Then we'll be reading from the Haftarah, Amos, chapter 9, verses 7 through 15. Now, we began last week, blessed souls, and again, this is a continuation of the show last week, A Prophet, A Leper, and Divine Glory Revealed. We began last week with a discussion concerning prophecy recorded in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5, and we plucked very generously from a Hasidic discourse by the Lubavitcher Rebbe Menachem Mendel Schneerson, delivered this teaching in 1962, Tafshin Chaf Beis, 5,722 years into the creation. And that Torah portion was covering Acharei Mos, which is the first half of this week's coupled portions, Torah portions. And we gleaned inspiration and encouragement that very soon, as in the prophecy in chapter 40, verse 5, the Most High's glory will be revealed to all flesh, and this revelation will be clearly evident. The Most High has spoken from his mouth, which of course is allegorical. The Most High doesn't possess a mouth, but the Torah speaks in the language of human beings that we can understand it, to draw us to the instructions of Torah, which Torah means hara, instruction. And this is supernal speech by which will be evident coming from the Most High will become to recognize as the sole source of creation for all created beings. As well, we discussed another prophecy from the prophet Isaiah, Navi Hagula, the prophet of redemption, in chapter 45, verse 18, testifying that the world was formed and not made, as it is expressed in its original language of the Bible, the Tanakh, the Torah, in Lashon HaKodesh, the Holy Tongue, which is Hebrew, the ancient form of Hebrew. And this leads us to an instruction, a revelation, as per divine wisdom, which requires that or consciousness, and the capacity to receive consciousness, which is Kli, and to transfer further to oneself, to internalize this revelation within one's own vessels, of one's own right back and left brain thinking process, and ultimately to others, is for the purpose that we human beings should be able to fulfill Torah and mitzvahs. So before we go back into plucking generously from the Rebbe's Hasidic discourse, I want to bring out a point, blessed souls, that we didn't cover last week concerning the Haftorah of last week. And if you want to supercharge yourself in order to get a better context of what I'm talking about, please go to the Book of Kings, chapter 2. Book of Kings 2, chapter 5, verse 1 through 14. And I'm going to pick up now at Book of Kings, Book 2, chapter 5, verse 15 through verse 19. And there's a tremendous instruction here after the process that the king's general, Naaman, who was healed of his leprosy by the prophet Elisha, who was empowered by the Most High to do so through prophetic instruction. Naaman, as we read here in chapter 5, verse 15, Book of Kings 2, reads as follows. This is referring to Naaman. Naaman, slash, he returned to the man of God, slash, Elisha, he and his whole contingent, meaning he just didn't come alone. He came with probably an armed guard, a small troop, or even a large troop, because he was a general in the army. And he arrived and stood before him, meaning Elisha, and said, quote, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in the whole world except in Israel, and now please accept a tribute from your servant," end of quote. However, Elisha responded the following way. But Elisha answered, quote, "As the Most High before whom I stood lives, I swear that I will not accept it," end of quote. He urged him to accept, but Elisha refused. So Naaman said, quote, "At least let there be given to your servant a mule's team load of earth." Now, the intention of that, according to the Ralbag, was that Naaman had requested permission to take a large amount of earth from Elisha's property in order to build an altar to Elisha's God in his own town. And again, let's read it again. "At least let there be given to your servant a mule's team's load of earth, for your servant will never again offer a burnt offering or any sacrifice to any gods, but only to the Most High Creator. May the Most High Creator forgive your servant for this one thing. However, when my master comes to the temple of Rimmon," which was the king, he was talking about, Naaman's talking about his master, the king of Aram, "to bow down, he leans on my arm, so I must bow in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Almighty Creator forgive your servant for this one thing." And we're going to end here, blessed souls, where Elisha's response was, he said to him, quote, "Go in peace," end of quote, and Naaman traveled a short distance from him. What's going on here, blessed souls? What we're seeing here is an example of one of the instructions of Torah relating to the seven Noahid commandments, that a son or daughter of Noah, if forced to bow down to an idol, is not held accountable, because certainly Naaman, if he had not assisted the king bow down to his idol, would have been either demoted, court-martialed, or even put to death. And the man of God, remember, Elisha is identified here, blessed souls, as the man of God in chapter 5, verse 15 in the book of Kings 2. He said, go to peace, go in peace, lech l'shalom. So I just want to point out that there are various nuances here which are undetectable without learning the oral tradition of Israel, and hopefully this will help others and help us all communicate this message that's brought down here very simply. And also, you see, Naaman was in a tenua of movement of wanting to repent to the Most High for his actions in the past, in particularly his prior offering up of his burnt offerings in sacrificing to other gods aside from the Most High, that we never know of this bitter portion in life. So with that being said now, blessed souls, let's go back into plucking generously from the Rebbe's Chassidic teaching as it relates to this idea that eventually it will be clear to all flesh, not just the eyes, not just the brain, that the supernal speech of the Most High is being revealed to us. All the human family experience. Now this process again of consciousness, Ur and Kelim, lights and vessels, is connected to the idea which was elaborated by in Lakuti Torah by the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, in Parshat Tazria, Daf Chaf Gimel, page 23, the third row, his explanation of these concepts, that this is connecting two things which are opposites. The idea of consciousness and that which will receive the consciousness, so to speak, capture it, internalize it, and transmit it outwardly, outward, outside of oneself and to others. And this represents a broadness of one's capacity to receive consciousness, of or, of revelation. For instance, we see in an allegorical fashion that a small child is not able to receive a thing which is opposite his or her desire, because actually the vessel of their brain is still in a state of katnus, of smallness, of contraction. which is part of the human living experience, that a baby is born, and actually for the first 3 months, we know after the baby is born, if the mother is blessed and anointed to carry the baby full term for 9 months, that the brain is not fully connected. And therefore you notice too, when if you've held a baby within its first 3 months, that area where actually we put on the tefillin, for those of us of the men of Israel, 13 and older, that the area is very soft, which is also indicative of the fact that the brains inside the skull have not fully congealed together as one full unit. However, as the child develops, there is a congealing and full actualization of the formation of the brain, that it can develop its intellectual capacities totally, as any human being, hopefully, we blessed and anointed to actualize all the soul powers of their wisdom, understanding, and means of internalization of sense of profundity, to elucidate the profundity and to internalize the profundity. Chachon bin adas. On the other hand, with an adult can actually be able to withstand opposite perspectives, opposite levels of consciousness, polemic consciousness, within trying to understand one concept, one muskal. And, for instance, we also see in one's behavior, we see that a person is able to be angry with a person who has given him trouble, at the same time, too, doing for them a kindness. This can be evidenced. Sometimes a person invites someone intentionally or unintentionally, someone who has caused them trouble in the past, at their own occasion for rejoicing, whether it be for one of their children, coming of age as a young man or woman, whatever faith-based theology they follow, or at a wedding, and they're willing to dance with someone who has given them pain, and the pain is still resonating within that person who has been hurt, and yet in the midst of having their joyous occasion, say celebrating the wedding of a child, they'll dance with a person who has given them trouble. Now, as well, we see that this also pertains to a teaching from the Torah, oral Torah tradition, in the Masechta of Yevamos, in Daf Ayin Ches, page 78, at the end of the second page, because each page of Talmudic literature, and Rashi will also mentions this matter, that in the place where a person is being judged for perhaps punishment or some sort of cleansing, and I'm paraphrasing Rashi's words, there's also a time from above that there is a mentioning of the person's merits. So when a person is brought before judgment, before the heavenly court, that, or even in the earthly court, as well as there is a mentioning of those things which seem offensive to another person or to the Creator, but there's also a mentioning, whether consciously or subconsciously, whether it be in the heavenly court above or in the earthly court below, a mentioning of what type of righteousness, what type of goodness that person has accomplished, even at the time they did something wrong, or before they did, or after they did. It's weighing into the consideration what were the antecedents, what was going on at the time of the offense, which a person is being allegedly is being accused of, allegedly, that he or she committed, and what will be the consequence of the judgment. And this is from the perspective of there's a broadness of the vessel of those who sit in judgment of this person, that they're able to take the whole package, because any situation which requires judgment, havchana, differentiation, must consider the whole package of the concept they're trying to analyze, whether it be a case of judgment in a lawful case, in a court of law, or when the heavenly court is taking account of the person, what must be done to help correct that person. Now, the broadness of the intellectual and the emotional vessels, rochav hakelim, of a human being, is also, again, a source, an encompassing source for patience that will allow the vessels of their consciousness, their intellectual and their emotional consciousness, to be able to bear the extremes, the opposite reasonings concerning one concept. But we still need to understand how opposites can be joined together. Well, we see in another place that there is in fact a verse in the book of Job, in chapter 25, verse 2, where it's written, Oseh Shalom Bimromath, that the Almighty Creator makes peace among His exalted beings, meaning the angelic realms. For instance, the angel Mechoil from the inner dimensions of Torah, Panimis HaTorah, identifies from the Midrash Rabbah that Mechoil, the angel Michael, is in charge of all forms of snow, Sarshal Shelig, and Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, is the Sarshal Esh. He is appointed over all forms of fire which are manifested into the creation. And yet, when these two angels stand before the Most High, Einam Machabim Zeh Ezeh, they do not extinguish each other, meaning the fiery intensity of Gabriel is not able to melt away the snow of the angel Michael, and the snow, the source of the snow on the angelic level, the angel Machol, angel Michael, Malach Machol, is not able to extinguish the fire of Gabriel. Why? Because they are both in the presence of a revelation of light that is higher than both of them. So both angels, so to speak, are kelim, vessels, to contain their potentialities as being the angelic sources of snow and fire. Yet when they stand before the Most High and are privy to these gilei or, shalemai meshneim, a revelation of or, of consciousness, of godliness, elokut, they, so to speak, put themselves in pause mode in relation to other angelic beings within themselves, and they all serve together to serve the Most High in unity and according to His divine desire, how the Malach Mechor, the angel Michael, shall manifest the snow in the world or in the spiritual worlds, because there's spiritual snow in the spiritual worlds, and the angel Gabriel, Malach Gabriel, shall manifest fire in all sorts of physical world and spiritual world. We also see too, as we conclude here, that when there are ministers to the king who have opposite opinions, and we see too that in political realms that the ministers of presidents and prime ministers and all different types of rulers, that they might have opposing opinions, but when they stand before the ruler, they subjugate themselves to the rule of the king or the prime minister or the president in order for the, and because of their intrinsic trust at some level of the ruler thinking solely for the benefit of his or her country, and therefore they will put their opinions on hold. So that thing being said, blessed us, we're going to put ourselves in hold and hopefully continue next week with this same theme. And we're going to go back to Isaac Bitton's Hashem Malach, Hashem ruled. Hashem rules and you always will rule in this blessed creation, hopefully in a way of Ahavachad, one love, Gorel Echad, one destiny, Kulanu, for all of us, Badarchi Shom Darchi Noam. Hopefully next week we'll continue with a prophet, a leper, and divine revealed, and divine glory revealed, installment number 3. Take care, everyone. Again, this is Isaac Bitton, my blessed brother in soul, spirit, and prayer at the famous Frankel Shul from his album, Generation Redemption. I just want to mention, anyone who's wondering, why am I playing music with Klik Nagina during Sfirat HaOmer, which is a time of partial mourning for the nation of Israel, which can be explored by going to Chabad.org and learn about the Sfirat HaOmer and the mourning over the loss of the 33,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. Go to Chabad.org and just, you can Google, you can ask, what is this whole idea of partial mourning from the second day of Pesach until the coming of the giving, the holiday of the giving of the Torah, Shavuot, the Festival of Weeks. And that's about it, blessed souls. And remember, I just want to leave you with this one note, blessed souls. Please do not underestimate the goodness within you, because Atava Tov Lehetiv, the Most High Creator created you, so you've got to be good. And please don't overestimate your negative tendencies, because they're just waiting for you and crying out in their angelic source for you to rectify them, to make it a better world, because the world was created to be a settled place through Torah and mitzvahs, and not to be a place of chaos. Take care, everyone, until we reunite. Dunder's saying so long, and if, again, you want to try to contact me, 347-469-9702. We can vibe out on some Torah, And if you don't reach me directly, please leave a voicemail. I'll be happy to call you back. Take care, everyone. Laham Sheikh, to be continued with the blessings of the Most High. Take care.
Yeah.